For that's the way canons say good day and many thanks. In the wintertime, no ships sail there, for then the sea is frozen right over to the Swedish coast, and it appears exactly like a regular highway. There wave the flags of Denmark and the flags of Sweden, and Danish and Swedish people meet on the ice and say good day and many thanks, but not with cannons, no, with a firm shake of the hand, and each one comes to buy white bread and cakes from the other, for strange foods always taste best. But the most beautiful sight of all is old Cornwall, and in a deep, dark cellar beneath it, where no one ever goes, sleeps Holger Danske. He is clad in iron and steel, and rests his head on his strange arms. His long beard hangs down over the marble table and has grown through it. He sleeps and dreams, and in his dreams he sees all that happens here in Denmark. Every Christmas Eve, one of God's angels comes to him and tells him that what he had dreamed is true. He may sleep again, for no real peril threatens Denmark. But should real danger come, old Holger Danske will rise in his fury, and the table itself will burst as he wrenches his beard from it, and the mighty blows he strikes for Denmark will be heard throughout the world. An old grandfather was telling his little grandson all this about Holger Danske, and the little boy knew that what his grandfather said was true, and while the old man told his tale, he sat carving a large wooden figure intended to represent Holger Danske and to be used as the figurehead of a ship, for the old grandfather was a woodcarver. You see, a woodcarver is a man who carves the figures that are to be fastened to the front of every ship and from which the ship is named. Here he had fastened Holger Danske, standing erect and proud with his long beard. In one hand he held his broad battle sword, while the other rested on a shield with the arms of Denmark. And the old man told many stories about the strange Danish men and women, until the little boy felt he must know as much about them as Holger Danske himself, who could only dream. And when the youngster went to bed, he thought so much about all he had heard that he pressed his chin hard against the quilt until he fancied that he had a long beard which had grown through it. The old man sat at his work until he had finished the last carving, the Danish coat of arms on the shield. Then, as he looked at his carving, he thought of all he had read and heard and of what he had told the little boy that night. He nodded and wiped his spectacles, put them on again, and said, "Well, I don't suppose Holger Danske will ever come in my day, but the little boy there in bed may see him and may help to defend Denmark when there is really need." And the grandfather nodded again. And the more he looked at his figurehead, the better he knew that his work was good. It almost seemed to him that color came into it. The armor seemed to gleam like steel and iron. In the coat of arms, the hearts became redder, and the lions with the golden crowns on their heads were leaping. "It's the most beautiful coat of arms in the world," he said proudly. "The lions mean strength, and the hearts mean gentleness and love." He looked at the uppermost lion and thought of old King Canute, who had bound mighty England to the throne of Denmark. He looked at the second lion and thought of Valdemar, who had conquered the Wendish lands and united Denmark. He looked at the third lion and thought of Margaret, who had joined together Denmark, Sweden, and Norway. But when he looked at the red hearts, they seemed to shine even more than before. They became leaping flames of fire, and in his own thoughts he followed each of them. The first flame led him into a dark, narrow dungeon cell, and there he could see the prisoner, a beautiful woman, Eleonora Ulfeld, daughter of King Christian IV. The flame became a rose that blossomed on her breast and became one with the heart of that noblest and best of all Danish women. "Yes, that is indeed a heart of Denmark's arms," said the old grandfather, and his thoughts followed the second flame.